It's real bad for an old man to be walking around in the dark on a stage with all of this stuff. But I am very thankful to be here. I'm thankful that you are here. And not sure what prompted you to come today, but I do have a word from the Lord that He's given us. And I wrestle with this, but I want to make sure that you understand that what I'm going to give to you is coming from the Spirit and not from Christopher. So if you get upset and you leave, take it up with God. Do we have any first-timers here today? Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. I see those hands. Y'all doing a little bit better. So I appreciate you inviting people in here. Again, I don't know why you came, what brought you here, but I'm thankful that you're here. And it is my prayer that you do hear a word from the Lord. We are on a series called Surface Tensions. And as we have demonstrated over the last few weeks, there are issues with being a Christian, with trying to follow God. And we're using this example of surface tensions. Everybody was afraid because Joe set the stage on fire last week and they were like, Chris, you're not going to do that. I do not trust myself with fire. But we've been using an example of this aquarium and talking about surface tension. I'll go into the equation for that. But what we used was an example of a feather on water. And if you will see, and you may or may not be able to see how this feather is floating on the water, there's a force called surface tension that holds this feather up, keeps it from going into the water. And we wanted to use this series, Eli wrote this series up to help us understand how we as Christians find it difficult to break through all of these surface issues and actually experience the depth and breadth of the glory of God. We will find ourselves enjoying the glory of God, maybe a salvation experience, first time everything is good and wonderful, and then we find ourselves floating right back up to the top again. And we are going through this series so that we can understand how important it is for us as Christians to be able to live in the experience of God, live in His glory, live in this wonderful thing that we talk about that is a life in Christ. So as I get ready to go into this, I want to start out in prayer. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for just allowing us breath, allowing us the freedom to come and worship you unrestricted, because that freedom may not last very long. But for whatever reason, Lord, you allowed us to come or you prompted us to come today, Lord, we pray that most importantly, you speak to us and we're not checking off a religious box, but when you speak to us, there will be a change in our hearts and minds that will allow us to do what you called us to do, which is to impact the world for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is our verse today, Romans 13:11. And it says, besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. Wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let me deconstruct that a little bit for you. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. Why would Paul say we needed to wake up? Maybe because we're sleeping. Maybe because we're complacent. Maybe because we're comfortable. For salvation is nearer to us now than the time we first believed. That salvation that we are talking about in this regard is the salvation or the return of Jesus Christ. What we are all waiting for, what we all long for. We long for his return. We long for that salvation because that's going to bring us into his presence. And do you believe it's coming soon? Salvation is nearer to us now than we first believed. Tomorrow it's going to be nearer. The day after that it's going to be nearer. So that means we need to take some action, because the night's gone, the day is at hand, and we need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That being that light in the dark world. So my question to you this morning is, are you comfortable? Are you comfortable? Yes. You know it's a trick question. Y'all know how I preach. Because I'm going to get you with that. We have a great, beautiful edifice, wonderful sanctuary, nice, comfortable seats. And sometimes it is dangerous to be comfortable. I'm going to give you a little history lesson. I'm going to talk about the history of the church and how things have started to change. And church's attendance started to decline in the 60s and 70s with the baby boomer generation. It's my generation, and most of us kind of fit into that category. Baby boomers grew up, they kind of stopped going to church. Why? Why? Because the culture changed. With the introduction of technology, secular values started to take over. Entertainment started to take over. You started to have malls. You started to have Weekiwachi Park open up, Disneyland. You started to have Starbucks. And the lure of the traditional church no longer worked, because there's something else to do on Sunday morning besides go to church. There's something better to do. So this is what happened with church people. The entrepreneurial pastors began to tinker with church to see if a new purpose for the church could be found. So here on the scene starts to come something called a mega church. And rather than having a place that was intended to connect people with God, they actually tried the smoke and mirror approach. And they said, maybe, you know, if we start serving coffee, start offering a breakfast bar, you know, give it out free. Maybe if we got rid of the old lady on the piano and brought up a bunch of young guys with ripped jeans and flashy guitars, and we put on a light show and a smoke show, we could bring more people in. They ain't gonna never let me preach after today. Maybe we could, if we could take care of their children and offer babysitting service, and better than that, we can put video games back there with the kids so they won't be bored, and they'll beg their parents to come back more and more. And if we can get the unchurched into the building, they don't call them non-believers, they call them unchurched. If we can get the unchurched into the building, get the seekers into the building, we can connect them to God. So I ask a question: has the American church redefined its mission? Church needs to be a place on Sunday morning of correction and conviction and challenge, not a place of comfort. Now, I love my church. I'm not talking down on Wildwood. I would rather be in a nice, comfortable, cushy chair church than a little hot hard bench church like I grew up in South Carolina when I was a boy, but I want you to understand why we're here and the purpose for the church. Because let me tell you something, the mega church ain't working either. Because they're competing with each other, and it's just like restaurants. You know, if we offer the best special, if we offer the best service, if we offer this or that, more people will come. And see, even in Spring Hill, this is what I notice. It's not working because people move from Grace World to Dome Church, and they come to Wildwood. Then they get mad at us, and they move from Wildwood, and they go to Greater Life. And then they move from Greater Life, and they go to New Life, and it's a big circle. And eventually, what ends up happening, they leave the New Life and they go to No Life. They leave church altogether. Because the church has lost its focus and it's lost its mission. And people come to church to be consumers and not producers. I used to all the time when kids come to my house when my wife is cooking and they know she's cooking, and my kids would bring them over, and they'd come through my door, they would get mad at me because I would ask them, are you a consumer or a producer? And they would look at me with this puzzled look on their face, and I'm like, you're just coming to my house to get something from me. What will you bring to me when you come? I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you come to church to be a consumer or a producer? Comfort, people, leads to complacency. That's why we go from church to church to church to church to see who has the best show, the best music, the best situation that can help me. And when we get tired of that, we find somewhere else. We find somewhere else, and then eventually we leave because, you know what, I can be more comfortable at my home watching television. Or I tell you what, we're going to go to Disney World. We're going to go to Weewatchee Park. I tell you all the time, the line is longer down there than it is here. The book of Amos tells us in this verse, Amos 6:1, it says, woe to those who are complacent in Zion. And the prophet was talking about the children of Israel and whether they had gotten into a good situation. God was good to them. They didn't have to fight the battles anymore. They're laying back. Everything is chilled. Everything is all right. And they sort of start forgetting about God because they're comfortable. And they're complacent. There's a problem with that, because guess what? God hates complacency. He tells us in his word in Revelation 3:16, it says, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. People get bored when you read the Bible, but I like to read it. So y'all bear with me. I want to give you a little bit more than just that verse. Letter to Laodicea. This is to the church in the book of Revelation. It says, 3:14, write to the angel of the church in Laodicea, thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold, hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and I need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, and poor, blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed in your shameful nakedness, not to be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I love, God is saying to the church, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That's a hard word for the church, isn't it? Boy, y'all quiet this morning. Amen, baby. Want to go back to the situation of surface tension and give you this formula, T equals force over length. That's the scientific term for surface tension. And I'm going to give you somewhat of a different example this morning, and I hope that that'll help you understand a little bit. I am using what they call the incredible edible egg. Used to be a commercial back in the day. If you will look at the shape of the egg, you will understand how brilliant God is as he designs things. If you will understand the design of this egg, if it is placed properly, because of vectors and surface tension, if it is aligned along with the direction of the way this egg is designed, it could actually hold 53 pounds. And man has taken this design that God made, and he has put it in many architectural areas. You can see these things that we have here that man copied off of an egg because of the structural competence of the egg, the integrity of the egg. But that's because it's aligned properly. And when the vectors line up, it's going to be hard to crush. But what happens if you turn the egg sideways? The alignment changes, and the egg has a tendency to crack. And we're always talking about walking on eggshells, and we don't want to break eggs and things of that nature. But let me tell you what. I've talked about this before in a sermon or two. An egg doesn't really have any purpose unless it's broken. And the beauty of breaking an egg is, it has been said by professional chefs, that the egg can be prepared 143 different ways. So it never reaches its potential until it's broken. So my point to you today is, the surface tension that a lot of us have in relation to what we demonstrated here in this aquarium is, what does it take for us to get into the presence, the true presence of God? It takes brokenness for us to get into the true presence of God. We don't like that, do we? It's not a good message. Breaking's caused many ways, but it's caused by many things, but I gave you three to talk about today. And I'm going to give you some biblical examples of what happened and how God uses situations to break us. One, he can use Satan to break us. What do you mean, Satan? You understand that there is a spiritual battle. We miss this all the time. We fight spiritual forces. And we're so enamored with technology and AI and stuff like that that we think we know everything and we can do everything. But let me tell you something. God can snap his finger just like that and all that stuff can go away. Every time the hurricane comes, y'all ain't got no cell phone service. Y'all ain't got no electricity. Everybody's all upset. What's going to happen? We ain't got no power. I laugh all the time when these situations come and God actually demonstrates how quickly and how easily things can change and how powerless we truly are. But let me tell you, his spiritual force is always being fought by another spiritual force, which is Satan. And we forget about that. But Satan has no power over God, but God can allow Satan sometimes to break us. Use my friend Job as an example in how Satan and God were having this conversation, and God says, "This is my servant Job." And, you know, Satan said, "Well, let me loose on him." He said, "Well, I'll let you do anything you want to do with him except for kill him." And understand, God was in control here. And Satan let loose on Job. He had a really terrible day. Lost everything in one day, one thing behind the other. And yet and still, he held true and strong. And sometimes we wonder why things are happening to us. Oh man, my car broke down, my refrigerator broke down, I got a hole in my roof. You know, one thing after another starts happening, and we forget that God uses situations like that sometimes to get our attention. Number two, sin. We just straight mess up. We straight do the wrong things. We understand that we are living in sin. We understand that we are doing things that are unscrupulous, that are wrong, that are against the word of God. And we use it as an excuse because God knows my heart. I'm just only a man. You know, I fail, but you know, I know him. You know, he knows me, and you know, he'll help me get through this. Stop making up those excuses. We have enough of the word. We have enough examples. We have enough brothers and sisters to understand what we're doing wrong, when we're doing wrong. And there's no excuse for that. Breaking can be caused by circumstances. Circumstances are experiences that we as believers all have. But we can always trust Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we always ask these stupid questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? One, yeah, it ain't no good people, really. We do not even deserve to be sitting here breathing right now, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have a sin nature. However, circumstances are used by God to recreate us into people that he wants us to be. Just like that egg can be shaped in a lot of different ways, when it is broken, it gets recreated. You know, I'm taking these one, two, three situations, and I'm looking in the mirror at myself as I'm going through this sermon. I'm saying, oh my God, he's used all of this stuff to take me and break me and put me in a bowl and whip me up. Y'all think I grew up wanting to be a preacher? No. Farthest thing from it in my mind. But each one of these situations in my own personal life helped to shape me and bring me to the point that I could be on this stage and talk to you and share the good news of the gospel to you. And this still ain't easy. I still wrestle with this. There are times where he says, you know, I'm saying to myself, you don't need to do this. They ain't listening. You need to quit. You're wasting your time. But God pushes me into the place that he wants me to be so that by some reason, maybe through his word through me, he can help some of you. I want you to look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9. When it looks like we're getting beat up and we gave our life to the Lord and you know, we went into the waters of baptism and thought everything was going to be good and everything just starts getting worse and worse. And you wonder what's going on. You say, God, this Christian life ain't all it's cracked up to be. I'm still suffering. My situation still hasn't changed. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't y'all hate when you're going through something, somebody bring this verse up and say, oh, my grace is sufficient. I got to still keep dealing with this. Yeah, you got to still keep dealing with this. And even, I don't have the faith Apostle Paul for, you know, he's writing here, he says, for the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. That ain't a good verse. Are you content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities? Is anybody content with all that stuff? Well, this verse tells us that we should be, because we need to understand the purpose that we're going through this for. Because when I am weak, then I am made strong. Brokenness is tough. Because there's tension in brokenness. That surface tension. It's a hard place to understand. And we're resistant to brokenness. When we look at a situation of understanding that things are coming at us, then, you know, the guys were talking about these things over the last couple of weeks as we dealt with this series. The lies that we start to believe that causes this tension, that causes us to want to resist the brokenness, because we're like, not right now, God. I don't want to change. I don't want to be broken. I know that I need to do something different, but you know what? I feel so guilty. I'm looking at my past. I can't change. I can't experience your blessings, your goodness right now. I can't change what Joe talked about last week. I'm afraid. You know, it's just not the right time. I'm ashamed of what I've done. How can I give my life to Christ and people know who I am? Linwood talked about week before last, the false loyalty. We align ourselves with situations outside of God that we think are what's going to hold us up, keep us going. We align ourselves with the job because I need to make more money. We align ourselves with one political situation or another. Church has been divided and split up over politics. Y'all know that? But let me tell you something. I understand if it's a Democrat, Republican, or Independent, whoever gets in the White House the next time, they aren't going to be able to resolve our problems. Now, I'm not telling you not to vote. We have our own responsibilities. But understand, if your loyalty is in politics, it ain't going to work. I think everybody's starting to see that now, because ain't nobody happy with nobody that's running. Maybe I can get one of you brothers and sisters that I know to step up and do something. I always say this as a little aside. The best person to run America might be your next door neighbor, but we would never know that because of the way that we have built this structure that can't be broken now, that's taking us right off the cliff. This other side, pride, complacency, apathy. Oh my gosh. That pride, that self-sufficiency, that tension, that resistance. You know that egg is straight up. It's going to take a lot because we're holding that egg straight up. How many of y'all want God to bless you? Anybody here don't want a blessing? How many of you want a breakthrough? Here's the thing. We all want to be blessed, but none of us wants to be broken. We all want our prayers answered, but none of us wanted to realign with the will of God. We all want God to put a stamp of approval on our hopes and dreams, but none of us wants to surrender these hopes and dreams so that God can crush them and remake them into the dreams that He has for us. It's not until we surrender everything to God, until we give Him access to us and give Him freedom to remove from us what doesn't belong and what offends His holiness, get rid of that sin in our life and that darkness. It's not until then that we won't truly get our breakthrough and get our blessing. Brokenness means surrendering our will to God's will. We allow God to break us, We're allowing him to strip us of our self-sufficiency so that we can take on the life of Christ. What does that breaking look like? It looks like turning the egg sideways. It looks like yielding to God, getting on our knees, and repenting. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and speak in our lives. There's a good majority, a good percentage of you that knows Jesus, that's saved. You've been baptized. You gave your life to the Lord a while ago, but you still got issues. You got things in your life that need to be broken. I'm going to take one of these eggs and I'm just going to demonstrate to you how we truly can get into the depth and breadth of God. You see that feather's floating on the top, but when we allow ourselves to be broken, we're going to be in the presence of God. And we're going to stay there. And you know, the thing that we forget about it is this. He tells us that when he is in us, we are in him. And there is no separation from us once we're in the presence of God. And the more we shake this up and mix it up, guess what? The harder it is to separate the situation here. I asked a couple of friends to come up on stage, if you will step up with me now, a few of you that I asked earlier today, because I want to demonstrate something. I want to talk about the church. You all can stand right up there. And I want to talk about our brokenness and how the church is supposed to work. And every time we allow ourselves to be broken and we come into the presence of God, if you can imagine, this is us being broken and being recreated into what God wants us to be. We have a misconception about the church. Because we've given America a vision of what the church should be, and it's not what God's vision of what the church should be. All of us that are in Christ are new creation. We're new creatures. All things are old, and, you know, we become new. And as different as each of us are up here, grab his arm, we're one. To be in the depth and breadth and presence of God means that we are one. We are not a black church, white church, female church, old church, young church. We are God's church and we're covered by his blood. We are one. This is how the body of Christ should be represented. And it's not necessarily even about Wildwood, because guess what? There are other churches around here, and there is a universal church. There are people that do not speak our language that are one with us. And when we talk about the church and we talk about being one with God, this is what people should see. There should be no difference. There's no denomination in God's Bible. There's no color, there's no separation in God's Bible. There is just a thing that unifies us, which is us breaking. We got different stories, all of us. But we got different purposes in life, all of us, in what God is doing for us. And it's all because of what? That cross right there, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed. And when we decided, in each of our individual stories, that we were going to give our lives to Christ, he made us one. And church, I'm going to encourage you, we need to start acting like that, yeah?
Amen.
All right, thank you. This is the tough part. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Taking up his cross and following me daily. Y'all know what that is? That's not a matter of getting this wood and carrying it on my shoulder like I've seen some fanatical people do up and down the streets from time to time. You know what a cross is? It is a literal electric chair. I'm going to, every day it says daily, I am going to break my will. I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to do? I am going to shock this flesh. I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to take it up daily, and I'm going to follow him. Y'all came up too early. That was not the cue I gave you. You know, we practice this stuff beforehand. They don't ever get it right. But I'm going to read you another verse. And it's going to come out of Revelation. Again. It's a message to the church. No, I'm sorry, it is not out of Revelation. It is out of 2 Corinthians 4. Starts in verse 7, it says, now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Clay jars, that's us. Those are vessels that are easily broken. We're afflicted in every way but not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair. We're persecuted but not abandoned. We're struck down but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, for we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Isn't that wonderful? For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what unseen is what? Eternal. I pray that this message, even though it was a tough message, was one that allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because I want to ask you something personal. I would like for you as an audience to stand up. And I want to go back to that very first verse that it says, this you know, the time that your hour has come for you to wake up, for salvation is nearer to us than those when we first believe. Is there something that you need to allow God to break you from? If it is, I'm going to ask you to allow that breaking of repentance to take place today. I'm going to call my prayer team up and any leaders up, and I want to ask you, if you can take down that pride and that self-sufficiency and you need to yield something to God, you don't have to talk to us about it, but I want you to visibly come forward and make that confession. Not to us, we're not the Catholics, but make that confession to God by coming to the altar. But more importantly, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then none of this is going to help you anyway. Tomorrow is not promised to us. If there's anyone that wants to come up here, and I never make an invitation to join the church because you got to go through a whole process to join the church. But to join the body of Christ, salvation is simple. Salvation is easy, and that's why people don't believe it, because they think it's a whole bunch of stuff you have to do. No. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your salvation. You have to accept that fact and ask Him to come into your heart. You have to be broken. And then you can be a part of Him and He'll be a part of you. And you will go into the waters of baptism and you will receive the Holy Spirit and come out a brand new person and start to be recreated in what He wants you to do. Will you take that opportunity today? 1 minute, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to pray about your situation. If God has spoken to you, I want you to come up front. We're just gonna take 1 minute. Listen to God, listen to what He might be telling you. And if you want to come up front, we're going to be here to help you, to talk to you, pray with you, and watch God start to do that miracle that He needs to do in your life. Prayer team, come up. If there's anybody that wants to talk to us, we're going to be here for you. We pray that God has spoken to you today. And even if you don't come up today, if there's a change in your life and you still want to talk to somebody, please call the church. We're here for you. We're here to help you. We're here to pray with you. We thank you. Amen. Let's worship.